Morning. Today's daf in Psachim Lamed Beis. We are starting on the Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Alpha Med Beis. A couple of words of introduction before we start our Mishnah, and we're going to be covering one topic today, and that is Achilas Truma. Just some of the basics. When it comes to Truma, obviously, Truma is taken off from grains, from grapes, and from olives. And Machlok is Rishonim whether or not there's a Chiyuv of Hafreshes Truma as it relates to all other fruits. The Rambam's of the opinion, there's a chiyuv of being mafresh trumas amaisos from other fruits as well. And according to Rashi, Tosos, throughout Shas, so the mitzvah of hafreshah on other fruits is only a din derabanan, not a din d'oraisa. Okay, it comes up a little bit later on this morning, but we're only going to be touching on that issue. Obviously, once you separate the truma, you give it to the kohen, and the kohen, and only the kohen is allowed to eat. The truma has kedusha. We discussed it earlier in the end of the first parak, by virtue of the fact that the Truma has Kedusha, so therefore it becomes more susceptible to Tuma. By regular Chulin only goes up to becoming a Shein L'Tuma. Truma, on the other hand, becomes a Shlish L'Tuma. The Truma having Kedusha can only be eaten by a Kohen. A non-Kohen, a Zar, is usher to eat Truma. What if a non-Kohen eats Truma? What if a Zar goes ahead and eats Truma? So we're going to break that down into two categories. We're going to discuss whether he did so b'shogeg or whether he did so b'mezid. So if he does so b'mezid, so he's a goslin, right? Obviously, he had no entitlement to it. So from a monetary aspect, it wasn't his. And from an isser aspect, a zar shalachol truma, if you do so b'mezid, so you violated the isser of the Torah. With a hefty punishment as well. A zar shalachol truma, a non-Kohen deliberately, intentionally eating Truma, so that's going to be subject to Misa Bidei Shamayim. So that it comes with it a hefty penalty. Misa Bidei Shamayim is pretty much on par with Kares. We could put Misa Bidei Shamayim one level below Kares. If you want to see some expression of how to differentiate between Misa Bidei Shamayim and Kares, the beginning of Yevamos, one of the first Tosafim over there, goes over the basic differences. If I remember correctly, he has three ways of differentiating. But anyway, Misa Bidei Shamayim is very similar to Kares. That's if a Zar were to eat Truma B'mezid. What if he eats a B'shogeg? Well, he forgot. He forgot either that it was Truma or he forgot that the Torah ostered it. But he ate a B'shogeg. So under those circumstances, what does he have to do? So there's a special halacha. We're going to be spending most of today talking about this special halacha, and that he has to make restitution. Restitution is not necessarily going to be described, and we're not going to necessarily describe it as compensation, but rather restitution. And you'll see why the wording over here becomes important. What a person does when he eats truma b'shogeg, a non-Kohen eating truma b'shogeg, is that he's got to pay back to the Kohen the principal value of that which he ate. He also has to tack on a chomish. Chomish translates as a fifth, but as we've known, we've gone over time and again, it really comes out to being a fourth. It's 25%. And the math we'll figure out another time how it becomes 25%, but he pays back its principal value plus another 25%. Plus, right, as opposed to when a person's mal b'hektish, she has to add a karban. Over here, when a zar eats truma b'shogeg, he does not add a karban. It's only karen and chomesh. However, when he pays back the kohen for the truma that he ate, he doesn't just simply give a monetary payment for that which he ate, but he must actually give fruit to the kohen that is valued at the amount that he ate, also with the surcharge of 25%. And it must be fruit that's eligible to become truma, meaning that this special halacha of Ezar Sha'achal Truma is that he must pay back the Kohen with fruit compensatory to that which he ate plus the 25%, and that fruit has to become eligible to become truma. So this is a special halacha as it relates to eating truma b'shogeg. Good? So this is just a very basics in terms of approaching our Mishnah. Now, we're not learning Masechta Trumas right now, and why is there so much Truma discussion? So, because, as our Mishnah is about to open up, we're going to be discussing somebody who's eating Truma, but not only is it Truma, but it's also going to be Chametz as well, and he eats it on Pesach. And so, there's a lot of factors that go into this discussion, And so let's go through the Mishnah and let's get a good understanding of the Mishnah. Ha'ochel trumas chametz bePesach b'shogeg mishalem keren v'chamish b'mezid patur mitashlumim u'midamei eitzim. So the Mishnah actually is very straightforward, and the Mishnah over here is describing two scenarios in which a person ate truma. Not only was it truma, but also was chametz, and he ate it on Pesach. And the Mishnah is describing what happens if that person ate a b'shogeg versus what happens if that person ate a b'mezid. If he ate a b'shogeg, so the Mishnah says mishalem keren v'chamish. And if he ate a b'mezid, he's pater from tashlumim and from even demei eitzim. He pays nothing, not even the value. Now, when we're talking about shogeg over here, shogeg on which iser? The person over here is a zar, he's a non-kohen, he's eating truma, and it also happens to be that it's chametz, and he's eating it on Pesach. So the truth of the matter is that right now, on the table are two Isurim open for discussion. When the Mishnah says that he's a shogeg in what? He's a shogeg in the Achilas Truma, or is he shogeg in the Achilas Chametz? Rashi over here is very clear. Rashi writes, the first Rashi on the Mishnah, b'shogeg, sheshogeg b'truma. Rashi says over here that the Mishnah's language of shogeg means that he's a shogeg in the Truma. Ve'afilu he's a b'chametz. So, and even if he's amazed in the chametz, which is rather remarkable, because if you're amazed in the chametz, what does that mean? It means now that you are subject to a kari's penalty. But nevertheless, vis-a-vis the truma and the obligation to compensate for the truma that's eaten, so as long as you are a shogeg in the achilas truma, that will require you to compensate. Rashi writes, Now Rashi notes as follows. What the Mishnah over here is telling us is a tremendous chiddush. Because on Pesach itself, what is the value of this truma that you ate? Meaning, what's the monetary value? So the answer seems to be that the value is zero. Because being that it's truma, but it's also chametz, and it's on Pesach, so chametz on Pesach, what can you do with chametz on Pesach? Nothing. You can't eat it, you can't benefit from it. So from a monetary standpoint, it has zero value. Good. Rashi says that's exactly the chiddush of the Mishnah. Despite the fact that it has $0 value, nevertheless, there's going to be a requirement to compensate. Miu, Rashi writes, shogeg de truma dechsev be v'chamish yisoh yosef alav v'nasan l'kohen es ha-kodesh. Because when the Torah says that if you were to eat truma in a state of shogeg, what do you have to do? You have to give back to the Kohen Kodesh. And the drush is, and Rashi writes, davar aroi lios kodesh, she'enu yachol Hashem lo hamaos, ela haperos. So when you're paying back to the Kohen, you don't pay him back money, you're paying back fruit. So it's not you're paying back the value of that which you ate, although you are, but what you're really doing is that you're replacing the truma that which you ate. Now that which you're going to pay back, meaning the fruit that you're giving to the Kohen, is going to become truma. Now Rashi over here is alluding to a debate which we're going to see in just a moment in the Gemara in terms of assessing how much you have to pay back the Kohen, based on the value of that which you ate or based on the volume of that which you ate. Okay, we're going to come back to that in just a bit. I don't want to confuse the issues right now. There already are a lot of issues on the table. So the chiddush over here of the Mishnah, as Rashi explains, is that in the event that a person were to eat chametz on Pesach and it also happens to be truma, thereby he's violating two isurim, but he's a shogeg on the truma, despite the fact that it has a monetary zero value, nevertheless, what must be done is that you must pay back the Kohen based on the truma that you ate, despite the fact that monetarily it's a zero value, because compensation for eating truma b'shogeg is not a predicate of its monetary value, because its monetary value is zero, because it's chametz on Pesach, but rather it's based on the volume of that which you ate, because you're replacing it with fruit. Good. Now, what if you ate a b'mezid? So that's the second half of the Mishnah. If you ate a b'mezid, and Rashi over here, again, could not be any clearer. The mezid over here is going on the truma, meaning you know it's truma, you know you're not a kohen, and you eat it you eat it deliberately, intentionally. And Rashi points out, v'afilu shogeg b'chametz. And Rashi says, as far as whether or not you knew it was chametz or you didn't know it was chametz, it is irrelevant for this particular discussion. Rashi writes, Mishum de truma, mezid ein ba chomesh, vein tashlumim lekapar, vein asin truma, degabe chomesh b'shkaga ksiv. Rashi writes that when it comes to chomesh, So the payment of the principal and the 25%, that is only limited to a case of shogeg. Aval mezid. But if a non-Kohen were to deliberately eat truma, eino ela kishar gazlan ba'alma. Rashi says, you're only a at this point in time, you're just simply a gazlan. Umishalma also fi damim. And now what do you do as a gazlan? So whatever value it is that I stole, so I have to replace its value. What's the value of this truma? So remember, it's truma on Pesach, which also happens to be chametz. So its value is zero. Uvelo lefi amida v'chametz bePesach la bar damim da'aser bar na ve'af lehesek lo havechazi lei v'lav midi afsedei. You've caused zero financial loss, and as a result of that, as a gazlan, you pay nothing. Now, admittedly, by the way, in other words, once you put all these principles together, everything over here makes sense, but of course what comes out is a funny irony, in that if I ate a Kohen's Truma and I did so unintentionally, so now I have to pay back. Based on the special halacha of Achilas Truma B'Shogeg, where you have to pay back not its monetary value, but rather you have to replace. On the other hand, if you ate the Truma B'Mezid, so because it's Truma, that is also Chametz on Pesach, so therefore I pay back zero. So fine, it comes out a funny conclusion, a funny legal conclusion, that if you violate it unintentionally, then you have to pay, but if you violate intentionally, then you don't have to pay. But, okay, that's, you know, this is not morals, this is not ethics, it's halacha. And in halacha, once you have the principles, so you just simply apply the principles, and sometimes you come out with these funny conclusions. But that's how the halacha lands. Tanan Hasam. The Gemara is going to start the discussion from the following, and that is a Mishnah in Trumos. Ha'ochel Truma B'Shogeg. So here the Mishnah in Trumos gives us the basic halacha of a non-Kohen who eats Truma, and he does so B'Shogeg. So Mishalim Karen V'Chomesh, so you pay back principal, and you pay back Chomesh, Echad Ha'ochel V'Echad Ha'Shosen, and it doesn't matter whether you're eating the Truma, whether you're drinking the Truma, V'Echad Ha'Sach, or whether you are smearing it on your skin. It doesn't matter if the truma is in a state of tumah or it's in a state of tahara. So what you're going to do is that you're going to be paying, you're going to be replacing its value plus chomesh and chumshah dechumshah. Chumshah dechumshah means is that once you give its replacement, which is going to be 1 1/4 times the amount that you ate, and let's say now by accident you ate the replacement, right? You're having a really bad day. So not only did you eat the truma, but you ate the replacement. And not only did you eat the replacement, but you also happened to eat the chomesh as well. The chomesh has the full status of truma, and so therefore what you're going to have to do now is that you're going to have to replace the replacement with the value and a chomesh even of the chomesh itself. In other words, the Mishnah is just simply saying that the chomesh takes on the full status of being truma. And so therefore, if you ate the chomesh in a state of shogeg, so you have to add on now another 1 1/4 times even the chomesh itself. Okay, that's the Mishnah in Trumas. The Mishnah in Trumas is just giving us the basic halacha that there's a special halacha when it comes to eating truma b'shogeg, for a zar eating truma b'shogeg, that you have to make make replacement of that which you ate. Again, 1 1/4 times the amount that you ate. Good? And it's a special halacha regarding eating truma b'shogeg. Gemara's discussion, which is going to take up most of today's daf, is the following. Ibai lehu. Kishu mishalem lefi mida mishalem lefi damim mishalem. Now, when you're going to be paying back the kohen, so are you going to be paying back based on the volume that you ate, or are you going to be paying based on the value that you ate? Volume versus value. Now the Gemara says, let's first frame the entire discussion. Let's say, for example, that when you ate it, the current market rate was 4, right? 4 per pound, whatever. Let's call it simple. So let's say that the current market rate is $4 per pound, and then it happens to be that it significantly went down in value. And now when you're ready to pay back, it only comes out to $1 per pound. So the Gemara says, Lo ti ba'ilach tevad de mi'ikara mishalem. There, you're going to have to pay back based on mi'ikara, based on the original price at the time when you ate it. Lefi damim de lo gara mi'gazlan. Because you can't be any worse than a gazlan. Now, it's a funny argument of the Gemara. First, let's establish that now we learned in the Mishnah, Baba Kama, kol ha'gazlanim, misham kishasek zela. Basic rule regarding gazlanim. Right, when they pay back, so how is it going to be assessed? Based on shas hagzela, at the time that you steal. So in other words, even though market prices obviously fluctuate, and the market prices have changed, in terms of when you pay back, you assess it based on the time in which you stole it. Good. That's the Mishnah Bava Kamma, ninth parak, if I remember correctly. But anyway, that's the basic halacha. So over here, if it was originally valued at four and now it's down to one, so you can't be worse than a gazlan. Now, again, as I pointed out, it's a funny argument of the Gemara. You can't be worse than a gazlan. You ate truma bishogeg. It was unintentional. A gazlan deliberately steals something from somebody. So the Gemara says you can be worse than a gazlan. You're not as bad as a gazlan. You ate truma, which you had no entitlement to do. You violated the Torah, but you did so in a state of shogeg. So it is a strange argument the Gemara is making, but presumably what the Gemara is saying is that, look, in the world of gazlanus, so compensation is always going to be assessed at the time of the gzela. So over here, even though you're not a gazlan per se, that's a strong word to use to describe this individual, but nevertheless, your conclusion can't be worse than a gazlan. Okay, anyway. So kiti bailach de mikar shavi azuzel l'sof shavi arba. So the Gemara says, okay, what is open for discussion over here is the following. At the time when you ate the truma bishogeg, it was worth one zuz. Now, as at the time of assessment, it happens to be that if we went to the store now and we wanted to buy the amount that you ate, so it happens to the prices just shot up. Oh, who knows? There was a shortage of whatever fruit it is that you ate, and now it's worth four. So my lefi mida mishalem. So the Gemara says over here now, let's try to figure out how we're going to pay back. Now remember, this is one of the most critical points of today's daf. When you eat truma bishogeg and you're going to be paying back, it's not the regular halachas of gazlanim. By the regular halacha of gazlanim, so we're always looking at the value of that which you took, and you pay back its value. Now, by the regular rules of gazlanim, just to be clear, if you have the item still intact, you have to return the actual item itself. The Torah says, v'heshif es hagzela. But if the item is not around and you're paying back now its value, so by gazlanus, we always look at its monetary value. When it comes to eating truma bishogeg, there is a special halacha that what you're going to do is that you're going to replace the truma that which you ate, meaning that you're going to be giving fruit back to the kohen. And that is not open for discussion, meaning as much as the Gemara over here makes it sound like we're discussing value versus volume, and that is a discussion, but I'm trying to make this as clear as possible. You're going to be paying back the Kohen fruit that which you stole. That is clear. Rashi said that in the Mishnah. It will become clear over the entire daf today. It's just a question of how to assess how much fruit I need to give back to the Kohen. And in regard to this particular point of how much fruit I need to give back to the Kohen, now we're going to be discussing, are we going to be gauging based on volume or based on value? And the Gemara says, that's now going to be open for our discussion. So, if, let's say, at the time when you ate it was worth one, now it's worth four. So, my lefi mida mishalem damalei garva achal garvya mishalem. So, are we just basing it on volume? Look, I ate a pound of grapes. I'm going to now replace to the Kohen a pound of grapes. The fact that it went up in value, irrelevant. That's one way to look at it. Odim lefi dami mishalem bezuzah achal bezuzah mishalem. Or maybe no. Maybe value plays an integral role in terms of replacing, making good on that which I did. I ate a pound of grapes, but at the time when I ate it, it was one zuz. Now it went up to four. And so now when I buy the fruit that I give to the Kohen, so maybe I got to give him now something of equal value. Meaning it's still going to be fruit in which I return to the Kohen, but it's got to be of equal value. So the Gemara says that's going to be now what is open for the discussion. And that means to say that I'm going to have to shell out $4, even though at the time when I ate it was only $1, but now I'm going to have to shell out $4 in order to buy it. So the Gemara says that's open for the discussion. I'm Rav Yosef Tashma. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we can do now is we could take a look together at a couple of Mishnayos throughout Shas, and we're going to be able to ascertain in terms of whether or not the gauge in which I'm going to be replacing the truma that I ate is going to be based on value versus volume. So first we're going to start off with the following. Achol grogros v'shim lo tamarim. Let's say by accident I ate figs. Okay, so in other words, the truma, this particular truma under discussion are figs. I ate it, again, a non-kohen, eating truma bishogeg. And okay, so now I have to replace. Now, interesting over here, the Gemara assumes that we know this, but let's make this clear. And that is, as much as I've been highlighting that you have to pay back fruit, it does not have to be the same type of fruit. In fact, what you could do is you could return another fruit, provided, of course, that it become shuma. So over here, you ate figs, and vishilem lo tamarim. So you gave back dates. Now, over here in this brisa, you have now satisfied your obligation of replacing the truma that you ate. Now, we don't know right now, did you give the same volume? Did it have the same value? Good. That's exactly what we're open for discussion right now. Just as an important point, I don't know how many of us have gone shopping lately. You can't ask me about these things, but the dates are significantly more per pound than the figs. Okay, that's the assumption the Gemara is making, right? At the time, that was the case. Anyway, so achal grogis v'shilmo tamarim tavol av bracha. So the Braisa says that if what you ate were figs, truma figs, and you ate b'shogeg, and now you're replacing with dates, tavol av bracha. So basically, you're going to get a tremendous yisher koach. What you did was excellent, right? It was praiseworthy. Now the Gemara wants to understand what was so praiseworthy of what you did. So So let's say that the replacement has to be of equal volume. So in other words, you ate figs, right? A pound of figs, and you replaced to the Kohen a pound of dates. So the Gemara says, if that's in fact the case, I totally understand the Braisa. Good, you're going to get a tremendous Gesher Koach. Because what you did is that you ate the figs, which was worth a dollar. You replaced it with the same volume of dates, but dates cost a lot more, four times more. And so therefore, you satisfy your obligation replacement and you gave something to the Kohen that's of greater value. So then I totally understand that if replacement is all predicated on volume, then the Braisa makes perfect sense. But the Gemara says, but here, if we're going to be gauging the replacement, the requirement for replacement based on a predicate of value, so let's consider. Okay, I ate figs. How much figs did I eat? Doesn't matter. In other words, let's assess the value of that which I ate. I ate a dollar worth of figs. Good. So now I'll go to the store, I'll take out a dollar, and instead of buying figs for the Kohen, I'll buy a dollar worth of dates for the Kohen. And I'll give it to the Kohen. Now, if that works, right, let's assume that works. So then, the Braisa says, Tavol av bracha. Good, you're going to get a Yesher Koach. The Gemara says, look, Yesher Koach, meaning you do get a Yesher Koach for doing the right thing, but Tavol av bracha makes it sound like you went above and beyond. The Gemara says, I don't understand. What did you do going above and beyond? If you ate a dollar and you replaced it with a dollar's worth of some other fruit, okay, so you just did the right thing. Tavol av bracha makes it sound like what you did was exemplary. So I'm Rabbi Lolam Lefi Damim Mishalom Va'amai Tavol av bracha De Achal Midi De Lo Kafetz Al Zvine Ve'Kam Mishalom Midi De Kafetz Al Zvine. Abai's response is no. I'll tell you what. We can even assume that the replacement is going to be based on value. However, Abai says what I'll tell you is the following. Tavol av bracha because you try selling figs in the market, people don't jump on figs. You try to sell dates in the market, people get excited about dates. So even though the compensation is going to be of same value, it's going to be a dollar for dollar, but nevertheless, the tavol av bracha is that you replaced it to the Kohen with dates, and the dates are just easier to sell. Okay, to none. Right now, again, we are dealing with the basic question. A non-Kohen eating truma b'shogeg, who has to now replace it with the fruit, how do we gauge that replacement? Is it going to be based on a volume, or is it going to be based on value? So good, so we're right now in the middle of discussing, and all this comes back to our Mishnah, because what did our Mishnah teach us? Tanan, ha'ochel trumas chametz, b'pesach, b'shogeg, mishalom keren v'chomesh. So you ate trumas chametz on Pesach, and you did so b'shogeg, so you're going to pay back keren v'chomesh. So now the Gemara says, let's consider Iyamar Bisham Lafimi de Mishalom Shapir. Now, if eating Truma Bishogeg is going to be a predicate of volume, so then our Mishnah makes perfect sense. Because in our Mishnah, not only did you eat Truma, but it also happened to have been on Pesach, and it also happened to have been Chametz. So now, what is the monetary value of Chametz on Pesach? The answer is zero. You can't eat it, you can't benefit from it, so it has zero monetary value. And yet the Mishnah says with clarity that you must replace the volume of that which you eat. Clearly this is all a function of volume, not value, right? It seems pretty clear. So our Mishnah over here is clearly of the position that it is a function of volume, not value. That's the easiest way to read our Mishnah. But if we are gauging that when I'm replacing to the Kohen the truma that I ate, and we're basing it based on the value of what was it worth when I ate it, well, what was it worth when I ate it? Zero. So how much compensation should I now have to return to the Kohen? Zero. Right? It seems pretty clear. So the Gemara says, okay, it is pretty clear, but I could, however, go about the Mishnah from another perspective. And how would that be? I can explain that our Mishnah is going like the sheet of Rav Yossi Aglili. Rav Yossi Aglili, if you recall, back on Dav Chav Ches, when we had a formal introduction to Rav Yossi Aglili, he had a position which is mechudash and not accepted, but in terms of explaining our Mishnah, we can plug him into our Mishnah. He says that Chametz BePesach is mutter behana. So the Gemara says our Mishnah could be going like Rav Yossi Aglili. I'm on Rav Yossi Aglili, damar Chametz BePesach mutter behana ihachi. So the Gemara says, well, that's interesting. Okay, so you want to tell me now that really the truma and my obligation to pay back is going to be a function of value, not volume. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so how did you understand the first part of our Mishnah? Well, it's going like Rav Yossi Aglili, and Chametz and Pesach does have a value. The Gemara says, okay, but Eima Seifa. But you have to follow through to the end of the Mishnah, and what happens when you follow through to the end of the Mishnah? Well, we're going to see what's going to happen. B'mezit patr min tashlumim u'min demei eitzim. If I eat that truma on Pesach, and it happened to have been Chametz, and I did so b'mezit, so the Mishnah says, here's what you have to return to the Kohen, nothing. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. E Rav Yossi Aglili, am I patur min hatashlumim midmei eitzim? Now you just told me that the Mishnah is following Rav Yossi Aglili. Rav Yossi Aglili says that chametz on Pesach is mutar b'hana, which means it has value. So how do you understand the second half of the Mishnah, where the second half of the Mishnah says that you're chayv to give the Kohen nothing? Well, why? You ate something that according to Rav Yossi Aglili has value, it's mutar b'hana, so it should have a monetary value. So we're kind of stuck right now, aren't we? So the Gemara says, not necessarily. So the Gemara says no. Maybe in the second half of the Mishnah, I'll tell you why you're putter. Even though the chametz has value, and even though you are a gazlan and you need to pay back, but it could very well be that the author of this Mishnah is Rav Nechunya ben Akana. What is the opinion of Rav Nechunya ben Akana? So we saw it already earlier in Pesachim, and in Ksuvos in the third parak, it's discussed extensively, and that is the Tanya. Rav Nechunya ben Akana ya oseh es yom kippurim kishabas l'tashlamim v'chulei. Rav Nechunya ben Akana says, you know this rule of kimle b'derab emine, that when a person is subject to two onshim, a harsher one and a lighter one, so the harsher one is going to override the lighter one. It's going to the lighter one is going to be totally overshadowed by the harsher one. Basin can only judge you on the harsher one, not the lighter one. So if a person was chayiv, let's say Mises Basin and Mamon, so the Mises Basin is going to overshadow the Mamon. You are going to be putter from the Mamon. Now, as we've said time and again, patur from the mammon means that basin cannot extract the money out of you. There is a chiv b'day shaman that you have to pay back the monetary payment. But so lotzis b'day shaman, you have to pay back. But basin can only judge you on the harsher one. Now, Rav Nechunya ben Akana introduces a novel position, which is that kimle b'derab b'minei not only applies in the case where there are two punishments that can be levied by Beis Din, but even if the harsher punishment, let's say for example, is kares, if the harsher punishment is going to be kares, so then kares can also overshadow a chiyuv mamon. Okay, that's the chiddush of Rav Nechunya ben Akana. If you think about it, by the way, it is a tremendous chiddush because kares has nothing to do with Beis Din. Kares is strictly up to a kares baruch hu. And so anyway, it's a chiddush. Fine. So So what the Gemara now is suggesting is that if you eat a b'mezid, do you know why you don't have to pay? It's not because the chametz doesn't have value. It does have value because, again, our Mishnah is going like Rav Yossi Aglili. You don't have to pay because of the rules of kimle b'derab b'minei. Kimle b'derab b'minei, what's the harsher punishment? So according to Rav Nechunya ben Akana, I'll tell you what the harsher punishment is. The harsher punishment is going to be the kares for eating chametz on Pesach. And so therefore, you're going to be exempt from the monetary payment. Okay, so that is another way. It's an alternative way to read the Mishnah. Okay, so if that's true, so then we could still defend the position that in terms of eating truma b'shogeg, you're going to be paying back based on value, not volume. And if that's true, then how did you understand our Mishnah? So then we just went through an intricate way of understanding the Mishnah. Comes out now is as follows. We are right now in the middle of the Gemara's discussion of when a zar eats truma b'shogeg, does he have to pay back with value of that which he ate or based on the volume of that which he ate? It's an open-ended question. We're discussing it right now, and we currently do not have a resolution on that issue. Going back to our Mishnah, when our Mishnah says that you eat Shuma Chametz on Pesach, so do you have to pay? So if you ate a Bishogig, you do have to pay. You have to, and when I say pay, the better way to describe it is replace to the Kohen that the Shuma that which you ate. But if you ate a Bemezid, so then there is no replacement and there is no payment. Good. That is our Mishnah. And what comes out now is that in terms of reading our Mishnah, you could read the Mishnah in one of two distinct ways. One way to read the Mishnah, which is the way we originally did, is that Chametz on Pesach has zero value. And the reason why, if you ate a Bishogeg, you have to replace is because replacement is going to be a predicate of volume, not value. And that's why you would have to replace the truma that which you ate. And then if you ate the truma chametz bePesach bemezid, you don't have to pay, because if you eat a bemezid, you do not have the special halacha of replacement. You're just now a gazlan. A gazlan pays based on value, and its current value is zero. That's one way to read the Mishnah. An alternative way to read the Mishnah, as we just now got done concluding, is that really the author of the Mishnah is Rav Yossi Aglili. Rav Yossi Aglili says that Chametz on Pesach is mutter b'hana'a, which means that it has value. The first half of the Mishnah that says that you ate a b'shogeg, that's there to teach us that because you ate in shogeg, so that we have the special halacha, that you're going to have to replace it. How do we gauge how much you have to replace? It's going to be a function of value. Good. And then the second half of the Mishnah that says that, what if I ate a b'mezid? So the Mishnah says I don't have to pay. Now, if our Mishnah is going like Rav Yosef Glili, what does that mean you don't have to pay? What you ate was something of value? So the Gemara says, yeah, but you also have to consider that you violated two Isurim. You violated the Isur of Chuma. You also violated the Isur of Chametz BePesach. And you did so b'mezid. So therefore, there's a Kari's penalty. And what the Kari's penalty is going to do is it's going to override, it's going to overshadow the monetary payment. So that's why you don't have to pay in the second half of the Mishnah, because of the rules of Kimle B'Derabbe Mineh, as expressed by Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Okay, good. Hopefully that was clear. So those are two different ways to read the Mishnah. And right now we're in the Gemara, and we are in the middle of an open-ended question of, when you eat Shuma B'Shogeg, how do you replace? You do have to replace. Is that replacement going to be a predicate of the volume that you ate, that's Midah? Or is it going to be a predicate of the value that which you ate? That is the Dhamim. Kitanai. What the Gemara now is going to suggest is that this question of Lefi Midah or Lefi Dhamim is going to be a Machlokas Tanai. And so here we go. Now we're on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, halfway down on the Amud. And we are going to go through a couple of brises that are, it's going to be really clear that this really is the Machlokas HaTanayim. So we start off with the following, Ha'ocha Chumas Chametz BePesach. So here, the brisa starts off with a simple case where, simple. It's not simple, but after having gone through half of our daf, it's pretty straightforward. So Ha'ocha Chumas Chametz BePesach. So if you eat Chumas Chametz on Pesach, Patr Min Tashlumim, Udmei Eitzim Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says, what are you going to pay back? So nothing. You're not going to pay back neither Tashlumim nor Demei Eitzim. That is the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Mechayev. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, you're Chayev. Now, Amala Rabbi Akiva, Le Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So here in this Brisa, so we get to see the back and forth. It's super helpful, not only to see the positions, but the back and forth, as we're going to understand a lot better what they're arguing about. So Amala Rabbi Akiva, Le Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, V'chi Mahana Yesh Lo Ba. So Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, I don't understand. Where's the Hana? Meaning, what value does it have? So, Amalo Rav Yochanan Nuri, the Rabbi Kiva, Ma Na Yesh Leochol Chuma Temeya B'Shar Yomos Hashana. So, Rav Yochanan Nuri says, well, let me ask you a question. Let's take Pesach out of the discussion. Let's take the Chametz on Pesach out of the discussion. Year round, you eat Chuma Temeya, not going to eat Chuma Temeya. So, what Hana do you get out of it? Sha'afa Pishen Lo Bo Heter Achila, Yesh Lo Bo Heter Asaka. So, even though you can't eat Truma Temea, Kohen's not allowed to eat Truma Temea, but he's allowed to benefit from Truma Temea. He could use it as fuel. So Tomer Bezeh Shein Lo Bo Lo Heter Achiv Lo Heter Asaka. But now, wait 1 second. Chametz on Pesach, so you can't eat the Chametz on Pesach, you can't get benefit from Chametz on Pesach. Halam Azadomer Lo Truma Tusim Vanavin Shenitma Shein Lo Bo Lo Heter Achiv Lo Lo Heter Asaka. And if you want to make any kind of comparison, here's what I would compare it to. So take a strawberry, or take a grape, and squeeze it, and the juice that comes out, and it's tame. So what can you do with it? Really nothing. You can't eat it because it's tame, and you can't burn it because it's not a fuel. It doesn't burn, so you can't do anything with it. And Rashi points that over here. And what about creating a nice aroma, like we discussed earlier in the Masechta? So Rashi points out over here, it's new grapes, it's fresh grapes. It doesn't create for a good aroma. You don't want to leave it around. Someone's going to end up eating it. Anyway, it has zero value. So if you want to compare Chametz on Pesach to any other paradigm, compare it to the juice that comes out of a strawberry or that of a grape, where it's Truma Temea. You can't eat it. You can't benefit from it. That's the paradigm in which to compare it to. Now, Ba'med V'amamorim B'mafrish Truma Ve'echmitza. Now, over here, the Braisa just concludes, by the way, how can you have Truma which becomes Chametz? So it has to be a specific sequence. It has to be that first you are mafish truma, then it becomes chametz. Ava mafish truma, chametz divrei hakol ena kedusha. But if you try to take something which already is chametz on Pesach and give it the kedushas truma, it doesn't even accept the kedushas truma because it's not a bar achil. It's not something that can be eaten, and therefore it doesn't even take on the kedusha of truma. Good. So in Braisa number one, right, we'll see there's going to be Braisa number two coming up in just a moment. In Braisa number one, we have two basic shitas, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Akiva says that if you eat Trumas Chametz on Pesach, and I didn't point this out, but Rashi says it, and it's going to be clear, and it doesn't matter if you did so B'Shogeg, it doesn't matter if you did so B'Mezid, you do not pay anything. You don't pay Tashlimin, you don't pay Demei Eitzim, you pay nothing, because it has no value. So according to Rabbi Akiva, I mean, we could say it right now, the Gemara is going to say it in just a moment. According to Rabbi Akiva, the payment of the Truma, the replacement of the Truma, is going to be a predicate of what? So clearly, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's going to be a predicate of value. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is of the opinion that no, that you're going to be paying based on volume. Okay, again, the Gemara is going to make all that clear. Tanya Idach, but before we make all that clear, we have another Braisa to go through. This second Braisa that we go through, so here we quote the Psukim in Parshas Emor, describing what you have to do if you're a non-Kohen Truma. So V'nasan L'Kohen is a Kodesh, you have to replace it with something that potentially can become Truma. The Brice over here says it very clearly, Davar Haralios Kodesh. So something that's fit to become Kodesh. Parloch Trumas Chametz BePesach Shepatim Menatzoshumim Midmei Etzim Divrei Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov. If you ate Trumas Chametz on Pesach, so there, you do not have to pay. You don't have to make any kind of payment whatsoever, not even to make Eitzim, not even the value of wood, meaning nothing. And that is Shitas Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov of this Braisa clearly is in full alignment with Rebbe Kiva, the previous Braisa. Rebbe Eliezer Chasma Mechayev, and Rebbe Elazar Chasma says that you're Chayev. Amala Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, the Rebbe Elazar Chasma, Vechima Hana Yeshlobam. So he says, I don't understand what kind of benefit do you get from it? Meaning, what kind of value does it have? Amar lo Rabbi Elazar Chasma lo Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov v'chi ma'ana yesh la'achol truma tamei b'shar yimos hashana shemeshalim. Well, what do you mean truma tamei year round? So you eat truma tamei year round, meaning a non kohen. We're to eat truma tamei year round. So what kind of benefit are you getting? So Amar lo imamar truma tamei b'shar yimos hashana shalfa pishein lo ba'heter achila yesh bo la'heter asaka. Truma Temea year round, so at least you can benefit from it. Over here, Truma Chametz on Pesach, you can't even benefit from it. I know. The arguments over here are identical to the arguments of the previous Braisa. Amar lo af bazu yesh lo ba heter asaka, she'im ratza hakoin maritza lifnei kabo mesika tachas tafshilo. But over here, the end of the Braisa is somewhat surprising. Where Rav Elazar Chasma says, what do you mean? Chametz on Pesach, you're not allowed to eat it, but he can give it to his dog, or he can cook with it. Now, what is he talking about? Chametz on Pesach, you can give it to your dog, you can cook with it. I'm sorry, you could use it as fuel in order to cook with, right? I thought you're not allowed to get benefit from it. So it will be, the Gemara is going to straighten everything out. The Gemara is going to put everything in its proper in its proper perspective. Amar Abaye on the top of the Amud Beis. So Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yochanan, Nari Kulu Sfir Lehu. So Abaye says, let's take stock of everything we learned this morning, according to the shitas of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and the shita of Rabbi Kiva and the shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, meaning take all three of those positions, Kulu Sfir Lehu, they're all of the position that Chametz B'Pesach Chasa Barna. Chametz B'Pesach Chasa Barna, so therefore it has zero value. Uvaha Pligi. The Rebbe Akiva Savar Lefi Damim Mishalim. Now according to Rebbe Akiva, so how do you pay back your the truma that you ate? The truma that you ate b'shogeg. How do we assess how to replace it? So it's Lefi Damim. So according to Rebbe Akiva, it's definitely going to be a predicate of its value. Rebbe Yochanan Ben Nuri Savar Lefi Mida Mishalim. And according to Rav Yochanan Nuri, it's going to be a predicate of the volume that you ate. Good. So the Gemara says, all this is clear. So, summarizes Abaye, that Rebbe Akiva, Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, Rav Yochanan Nuri, all three of them are of the position that Chametz on Pesach is aser bihana'a. So therefore, from a question of value, what did you eat when you ate the Trumas Chametz on Pesach? You ate something that has zero value. Now, in terms of how to replace it, so now the replacement fruit that you're going to give that you're going to need to give back to the Kohen is now going to be a function of either value or volume. It depends on who you hold like. If you hold like Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says it's going to be lefi damim. Now, what was the value of the truma chametz bePesach that you ate? Zero. Therefore, what are you going to pay back to the Kohen? Zero. Good. That sheet is Rabbi Akiva. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says, no, it's true that it had zero value. That part I agree with. But how do we determine how to replace the truma to the Kohen, that which you ate? It's going to be a function of volume. Therefore, even though it has zero value, but whatever volume it is, that's the volume that you have to replace. Good. The Gemara says, it's so good, pshita. The Gemara says, you know what, Abaye, thank you, but what did you contribute to the discussion? Meaning, didn't we know all that? So, ma de temer of Yochanan Nuri, nami karebi kivas rele, damer lefi damim mishalim. So the Gemara says, well, what you could have made an argument. You could have said Rav Yochanan Nuri really follows like Rabbi Akiva, that it's all going to be a function of value. And the fact that you are chayev, so maybe Rav Yochanan Nuri subscribes to Rav Yosef Glili, damer chametz bePesach mutar b'ana. And that, according to Rav Yosef Glili, we know he holds that chametz bePesach is mutar b'ana. We could have entertained the idea that Rav Yochanan Nuri agrees with Rav Yosef Glili on that point, kamash malan. So the Gemara says, Chiddush is no. That Rav Yochanan Nuri does not agree with Rav Yosef Aglili. That Rav Yochanan Nuri says that Chametz B'Pesach is Aser Ba'ana. Why do you have to pay if you ate a B'Shogig? Because it's a function of a volume, not value. So the Gemara says, Ve'im Achinam. The Gemara says, well, maybe that's true. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Because Imke Nedale Rav Yochanan Nuri the Rabbi Akiva, Ki Ech Nemahadale Rabbi Elazar Chasma the Rav Elazar Ben Yaakov. Because then, look at the end of the Brisos. Look at how Rav Elazar Chasma responded to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. That was Brisa number 2. And go back and look at how Rav Yochanan Nuri responded to Rabbi Akiva. You'll notice at the end that the responses are different. So it clearly is that Rabbi Elazar Chasma, that's Brisa number 2, he clearly is on board with Rav Yosef Galili. But by virtue of the fact that we can now contrast the two Brisa side by side, and you see that Rav Elazar Chasma in the first Brisa does not respond in the same manner, so clearly he's not on board with Rav Yosef Galili. Okay, Adkan. Tana Rabbanan. Good. So we are now, when all is said and done, we are now clearly left the question of when a person eats Truma B'Shogeg, when a non-Kohen eats Truma B'Shogeg. So he's got to replace the Truma that which he ate. That's clear. That's a pasuk in the Torah. Plus he has to also add on a quarter as well. That's also clear. The only question becomes how to gauge, how to establish how much he needs to replace to the Kohen. Meaning it's going to be fruit eligible to become Truma. But is it going to be a function of the volume and that which he ate? Or is it going to be a function of the value of that which he ate? So the Gemara raises a question on the beginning of the Amud Aleph, and we're a little bit less than halfway through on the Amud Beis, and what comes out to be, it's a machlokas satanayim between the shitas of, well, we could certainly say between Rabbi Akiva and Rav Yochanan Nuri. That's clear. And we can also say that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov agrees with Rabbi Akiva. That's also clear. Tanur Rabbanan. Okay, so as long as we're on the topic of eating Truma B'Shogeg, so here we are. The Gemara is going to give us a couple more drushes to finish off our day. So if you eat a kezayis of truma, so you have to pay back Karen v'chomesh. Obviously, we're talking about b'shogeg. Abishal amar ashiyei bosha v'pruta. Now, Abishal says that it has to be the value of a pruta, that which you ate, in order to incur the penalty of Karen v'chomesh. So my time at the Tanakama amar kravish ki yochal kodesh b'shkaga. So according to the Tanakama, who says that this requirement, the replacement requirement of when a person eats truma b'shogeg, is clearly going to be when he eats a kezayis, because if you look at the pasuk which we just cited, it says ishki yochal kodesh b'shkaga. The word achila over there, what does the word achila always trigger? It always triggers an amount of a kezayis. So v'achila b'kezayis v'abashal my time. Now as far as Abashal is concerned, who says that it has to be a shavapruta in order to incur the penalty of Karen v'chomish replacement. So because the pasuk says v'nasa mei nesina pachos mishavapruta. Because when you see the word nesina, nesina means that it always has to be a significant amount, and it has to be a shavapruta. V'idach nami aksiv yochal. And the Gemara says, now we're going to go into our classic back and forth, meaning, so, according to Abishal, what is he going to do with the word achila? Uprat lamazik hudasa. So the Gemara says, no, achila over there is not to tell me the amount, but it's to tell me how a person has consumed the truma. Meaning, this special halacha that we've been learning about all morning, that when a person eats the truma b'shogeg, that he has to pay back Karen v'chomesh, and when I say pay back, I really mean replace. This special halacha is only when he eats the truma. Let's say, for example, he doesn't eat the truma, he just simply destroys the truma. Okay, so if you destroy the truma, even if you do so b'shogeg, so there, this special halacha does not kick in. Obviously, you have to make good on that which you did, but this special halacha of Karen v'chomesh and giving replacement fruit only is when you do it ba'achila. V'tanakama ha'aksi v'nasan. Now, as far as the Tanakama is concerned, what is he going to do with the word v'nasan? Ha'omibay le'davar ha'ralios kodesh. It means to say that when you give back to the Kohen, it has to be something that is fit to become kodesh. Good. So the machlokus over here in this brisa between the Tanakama and Abishol, in terms of when exactly this special replacement halacha kicks in, is it when you eat a kezayis of the truma b'shogeg? Or is it when you eat a shavapruta of the truma b'shogeg? Tosfos over here on the top of the Amud is bothered. You know, the Gemara says over here, whenever you see the word v'nasan, it always has to be a shavapruta. Right? You could probably think on your own, but there are a number of times where you see the word v'nasan, and it doesn't mean a shavapruta. Okay, and Tosfos is bothered by that. He discusses that. We're going to continue in the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. If a person were to eat truma less than a kezayis, so he pays back keren, but he doesn't pay back chomesh. So the Gemara says, can we clarify this particular brisa? So e delays be shavapruta keren nami lo l'shalim. So the Gemara says, I don't understand if it doesn't have a shavapruta, so then why are you even paying back the principal? The e de is be shavapruta chomesh nami l'shalim. And if the value of it was a shavapruta, so then you should be paying back chomesh as well. So la'olam is be shavapruta. So the Gemara says, okay, the brisa that we just cited, it did have a shavapruta. V'afilu achi kevin delais be kezayis mashalim es hakeren ve'ena mashalim es hachomesh. So the Gemara says, okay, but here's what we're saying. We're saying that look, it may be a shavapruta's worth, but you didn't eat a kezayis. Once again, let's review. Let's repeat. This special halacha of replacing the truma that you ate bishogeg is only if you ate a significant amount. Significant amount, according to the Tanakama, has to be kezayis. So even though from a monetary aspect it was significant, it was a shavapruta, but again, for this special halacha of replacement and adding on a chomish, it's only going to be in the case where you ate a kezayis. So good. So that's the brisa, and that's our explanation of the brisa. Amru rabbanan kamei de rabbapa hadaloka abishal. So now, certainly, this brisa that we just learned follows the opinion of the Tanakama that we just saw a couple lines earlier. What about Abishol? So the rabbis say to Rav Papa, it's not going like Kabashal. The Ikabashal, Amar Kevin Sheish Bashever Prudava Gavleis Bekezias. What the Gemara now is assuming is that according to Abishal, who says that the significant benchmark of when to replace the truma is when you eat a shavapruta, so over here you ate a shavapruta. So if you asked Abishal, do you have to give back Karen and Chomish? Presumably he would say yes. So Amar the Rav Papa, so Rav Papa attempts to argue that afilatem Abishal, Abishal tarti bai. So the Gemara says, well, maybe according to Abishal, maybe it has to be both. Maybe it has to be a kezias, and it has to also be a shavapruta. So umi by Abishal tarti, the Gemara says, I don't know if that's really true. Vatanan, let's consider the following Mishnah. Abishal amar eshiyesh bo shavapruta chayv b'tashlumim. Eshiyesh bo shavapruta enu chayv b'tashlumim. So here in the Brisa, Abishal says, do you know when you're chayv tashlumim on truma that you eat, b'shogeg? When it's worth a shavapruta. If it's not worth a shavapruta, so then you don't, then there's no requirement of replacement. So Amru lo lo Amru shavapruta alalinyan lamiila bavad avla chuma enu chayv achi ebo kezayis. And the chachamim say back to Abishal, no, shavapruta is significant. Let's say in the world of meila, where you mold the hektish, you misappropriate hektish. So there, shavapruta is significant. Over here, this is a special halacha in achila. Achila is a function of kezayis. So the chachamim say to Abishal, you're simply wrong on this issue. Now, the reason why we're quoting the Braisa is we know the Chachamim already argue with Abishal. That part we've already established. The reason why we're quoting the Braisa is because the language in the Braisa, the Emisa Kemishesh Bo Kezayis Mi Ba'ele. So the, now if, let's say Rav Papa's suggestion is correct. Rav Papa says that according to Abishal, it has to be a Shavapruta and it has to be a Kezayis. So then the response of the Chachamim should be Kaven Sheish Bo Kezayis Mi Ba'ele. That the Chachamim would say to Abishal, it has to be a Shavapruta and it has to be Kezayis. So the it's clear now in the Braisa that Abishal is really looking only at one factor, and that is whether it was a Shavapruta or it's not a Shavapruta. And the Chachamim will argue, are only say, no, you only look at one factor, and that is, was it a Kezayis or was it not a Kezayis? Okay, so the Gemara says that Rav Papa's suggestion has been disproven. For Abishal, Kezayis is not a factor at all. The only factor for Abishal is whether or not it's a Shavapruta or it's not a Shavapruta. This is we're gonna pause. Tomorrow, the Afra Papa is where we're going to pick it up from. Okay, let's recap what admittedly was a bit of a challenging daf, but hopefully everything was clear. What I'm going to really focus us on are the two ways to understand the Mishnah in terms of a review. The Mishnah brought down that if you eat Shumas Chametz on Pesach, if you do so b'shogeg, so you have to replace that which you ate, and if you do so with Mezid, b'mezid, so then you don't replace at all. That's the Mishnah. The Mishnah's halacha is very clear. Explain the Mishnah, however, so that's going to take a little bit of work, a little bit of effort. There are two different ways to read the Mishnah. And the two different ways to read the Mishnah is really a function of that when you eat truma b'shogeg, so you have to replace to the kohen that which you ate with also chomish. You have to add on a quarter as well. The question becomes the following, and this was an open-ended question from today's daf. When assessing how much fruit to replace to the kohen, is it going to be a function of the volume that you ate? That's what's called lefi mida. Or is it going to be a function of the value that you ate? And that's lefi damim. Meaning everyone's in agreement that you're going to end up coming back to the kohen with fruit in hand. It's just a question of how do you assess how much fruit to buy? Is it going to be just simply a function of the amount that you ate, the volume, and you just simply replace with the same volume? Or is it going to be a function of value? How much did it cost? And now, when I replace with fruit, doesn't have to be the same fruit, but when I replace with fruit, is it going to have to be at the same dollar amount? That's the question. Based on that question now, when you go back to our Mishnah, you read the Mishnah in one of two different ways. Let's start off with Lefi Mida, which, by the way, Rashi in the Mishnah, now you can appreciate. You go back to Rashi in the Mishnah, that's how we explain the Mishnah. But the truth is that really there are two ways to explain the Mishnah. So now, when you go back to the Mishnah, so let's explain Lefi Mida. Actually, Lefi Mida is the easiest way really to explain the Mishnah, which is probably why Rashi cited that way, which is that if I ate the Truma B'shogeg, so now I have to replace. What was the value of that which I ate? Zero. Because it was Truma, which also happened to have been Chametz B'Pesach, which you can't eat, you can't benefit from, it had zero value. Good. But if I ate a bishogeg, if I ate shrimp a bishogeg, so I pay back based on volume. So I ate a pound, let's just say, so I got to replace with a pound, regardless of whether, of how much it's worth. But what if I eat a bemezid? So bemezid, so you don't know, you no longer have the special halacha of replacing the fruit. Now, if you ate shuma bemezid and you're not a kohen, so now you're just simply a goslin. So what does a goslin pay? A goslin pays value. A goslin always pays value. That's not open for discussion. And the value of that which you had is zero, so therefore the replacement is going to be zero. That's one way to read the Mishnah. Good. What was the second way to read the Mishnah? The Mishnah really is saying that you pay back based on value. Okay, so how does that work? So the first half of the Mishnah that says that you do have to pay back based on value, what's the value of Chametz BePesach? Answer, so our Mishnah is going, if you're going to go with the second approach, our Mishnah is going like Rav Yossi HaGalili. Rav Yossi HaGalili says that Chametz BePesach is Mutar Ba'ana, which means that it does have a value. That's what you're going to be paying back to the Kohen, and that's if you eat a Bishogeg. Okay, good. That's the first half of the Mishnah. What about the second half of the Mishnah? Second half of the Mishnah says you're putter. Why should you be putter? Meaning, if we're basing it on value and we're going like Rav Yossi HaGalili, it has a value. So you should be paying back if you ate it bemezid. No. Because our Mishnah also subscribes to the opinion of Rav Nechunya ben Akana, who says that because you violate an Isser Kares, so therefore the Isser Kares now is going to override the Chi of Mammon. Because Rav Nechunya ben Akana says that Kimle Bedarabi Minei is not just when the two Onshim are onshim of Beis Din, but even if the higher onish is our onish of kares, that too is going to override the chi of mammon, and that would be the second half of our mishnah. Second half of our mishnah, the patur is a function of kimle b'derabim minei, according to Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Those are the two ways to understand the mishnah, and really what it comes down to is when you pay back trum b'shogeg, are you paying back based lefi mida or lefi damim? Adkan.